Folks, this is Dr. Brian King. I'm here on the road once again back in Dallas and once again here with Sarah. How are you, Sarah?
It's been another long day for me. I've got my pajamas hidden under this, so I'm ready to like hop in bed after.
She's ready to go. It's just the working woman here. You got the long hours and stuff. I've been out of town, and as I've come back in, we've been doing these podcasts, and one of the things that's kind of cool about doing these podcasts via the internet is that I can reconnect and interview pretty much anybody all over the planet.
Right.
We've had a lot of folks from all over on the podcast recently. Our guest tonight is kind of an interesting one. She is an incredible comedian whose career spans. I mean, I'm not even sure how long she was doing comedy. I know she's been doing it longer than me, but she's very funny, and she's a Southern belle from Alabama. The interesting thing is she has a background in doing like sex therapy before she got into comedy. She was helping people, with their issues.
Mm-hmm.
We need help. The last time I saw her in person, see, this is the nice thing about doing these podcasts online. So the last time I saw her in person, she actually was beating the crap out of me at a comedy competition in a place called Bunjo's Comedy Club. That's right. That's right. She came in first place. I came in second place. Now that I've let the cat out of the bag, and I'm sure people who follow Bunjo's comedy lore already know who I'm talking about. I'm talking about, of course, about Gail Jones. How are you, Gail?
I'm here. I'm there. I'm everywhere. Blues, women, and blues. I'm here. I'm there. I'm everywhere.
I'm great. This is fun. I haven't seen you for ages.
It has been a very long time. I had to look it up before the podcast. That was in 2013. Was the sixth annual Killer Laughs competition, and I would have won it too if it wasn't for you meddling kids.
Well, yeah. I think I started comedy in 2003.
Wow, so you were doing it 10 years at that point. Wow.
Yeah.
And so you got about 20 years worth of comedy in you or so. Gail,
I wanted to ask you, do you do sex therapy?
Did I do sex therapy? No, but I have regular sex with a therapist.
Oh, that's sex therapy. Well, I just wondered because I thought I'd put on my Facebook page when you get this edited, two sex therapists turned comics.
That's fairly accurate. I used to do sex research. I wasn't helping people with their problems. I was just learning about it.
That's all right.
Yeah, you can't do sex therapy without the sex research, right?
That's right.
That's right. You gotta have somebody.
Masters and Johnson.
The old M&J. That's right. And Kinsey and
all those people.
Yeah. All those people who have since been in movies that have not portrayed them very, very positively.
Well, we had this woman, Mary Caldwell, that came to UC Medical Center. And she told us that when she was really old then, old as I am now, and don't ask how old.
You know I'm going to ask.
Well, you know I ain't telling you. You don't ask other women how old they are. But anyway, she told us in her lecture that when she was a kid, her parents put 10 gloves on her to keep her from masturbating. Did you hear that in your studies?
I didn't do necessarily studies on that, but I feel like even with 10 gloves on, I could find a way. It's just a really thick finger.
Oh, I'm sure nobody could stop you, Brian, no matter what.
And nobody has.
Isn't that right, Sarah?
So, Gail, I've always been curious how you made the jump from sex therapist to comedian. How did that happen for you?
A bitter divorce.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you got to give me that story. You got to tell me that.
Well, it was the divorce from hell, and I was going to lose my mind. So my girlfriend said to me, "You want to take this comedy class with me?" And I said, "Sure." She said, "I'll pay for it." Her name was Charlene. And I said, "Well, I can pay for my own class." And so she went 6 weeks. I went 3.5 years, and wow. It kept me sane, you know. So that's why I did it, just for sanity's sake. Yeah. And that's kind of why I do it now, for sanity's sake, because yeah. I'm living in jail in an old folks home.
I was going to ask you about that. We'll touch on that in a minute. But, I feel you on that. I started doing comedy. Something I always wanted to do, but I actually started doing it when during a rough time in my life, when I was just I felt like I needed something. I was a little depressed, a little bit stressed out. You know, I wasn't going through a divorce, but I was having a rough time, and comedy just sort of was something I found to distract me from that, to make me feel better. You know, And next thing you know, here I am, however long, you know, 15, 16 years later, I'm still doing it, you know.
The Wharf in San Francisco.
Yeah, that was a good time, the Wharf, man. So let's see. So you mentioned jail. Now, I kind of know what you're talking about, but what is Sarah has no idea. What do you mean? What's jail?
Well, by jail, I mean an old folks home. I'm in assisted living, and see my key? This is what I ring if I'm falling dead and they can come get me and take me to the hospital.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. But I had put on my papers no resuscitation because I'm out of here when I'm out of here. You know what I mean? And they steal stuff from us. I've been in two old folks home, and this is a story. I like to be different, you know, purple hair, red hair and stuff. And so I had these two pair of sandals. One was a blue pair and one was a brown. So I decided to mix them up and I wore one of each. Well, some asshole stole the other pair, and so I'm having to wear a blue and a brown sandal every day of my life.
That is terrible.
I know.
How long have you been in jail?
Well, I've been in jail a year here in Carlsbad, but I was in Carmichael for 5 years. I came in after I had lung cancer and wanted to move to Sacramento to be close to my son and my grandkids. And so that's what I did. I had no idea that it would be as depressing it is as it is, because you're in a place where people are dying all the time. Like my friend just died. And I was very sad about that. You know, you get one or two deaths a month, sometimes more. And my recommendation to you, Brian, is that if you get disabled, that you stay home, work hard, pay for your house. And then if you need care, you can pay somebody $30 an hour to take care of you. Welcome to one of these places.
Yeah, I have heard that they can be tough. You've worked in those kind of homes, haven't you?
I worked more in skilled nursing, but yeah, I did a couple ALF but more in passing. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is that representative her experiences?
I mean, everybody has a different experience. I worked on the side where people went home most of the time. So they were there for short-term therapy, and my job was to help them to return home. Sometimes I would have to make recommendations that they weren't able to take care of themselves, and that always sucked, of course. But it was also for the better of the person, because it was usually somebody who didn't have family and couldn't take care of themselves. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
Right.
Are you keeping them laughing, though? I mean, I think you probably bring some good spirits to a place like that.
I do sometimes. There's three of us. We're going to do a show here May 24th, I think. Oh, and I got to tell you what.
Yeah.
I bought two tickets to Neil Young's show. Yay!
No way.
I've always wanted to see him. He's fabulous. Wow. But we got a lot of people here 100 years old, so I don't know if they're going to like my sex jokes. I might get kicked out of the old folks' home.
The way you describe it, it sounds like it might not be the worst thing ever to get kicked out of jail.
Right. It's not.
No, I think your jokes will go over great. You know what I've always heard about retirement communities is just the rampant and unleashed sex that's happening.
That is a lie.
It is.
Nobody's asked me to come to bed since I've been here. And I'd say no if they did. I've forgotten how.
I always figured if you make it long enough in life, like, you don't have to worry about, you know, the pregnancy and disease is less of an issue. You know, I figure go nuts, do what you can do. You know,
well, the thing of it is, when you're old, your knees might be already going, and you can't use your knees when you have sex. So
this explains why we got so many knee replacements in the area.
Like, well, I gotta get new knees. There's a woman on my floor. I gotta get new knees.
But I haven't seen any proof of that.
Yeah. Well, you are the sex therapist, so make sure people know that, so that when they do start having sex, they know who to talk to about it.
Well, some lady here asked me if I would do therapy with her, and I said, "Not no, hell no, I'm through with that job. I don't want any more of it. You know, it's too hard."
Yeah.
It's very hard work.
Oh, no, it is. It absolutely is. But, there's a reason why you switch gears in life. You know, I don't do the things that I used to do professionally anymore. You know, Sarah has made a couple of switches. You know, she stopped working with the older population. Now she works with, like, kids. Which have a whole different set of problems.
They do, actually. Yeah.
They do, yes. Absolutely. I did child abuse therapy for 10 years and I quit. Mm-hmm. Got too hard after that. Mm-hmm. Then I quit marketing after 10 years. It was too hard. I didn't want to do that. So as you get older, you have to weed out the stuff that's hard on you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you live longer.
Yep. Only do the stuff that agrees with your disposition. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Are you doing all those tours I saw on your
I
head?
I am.
Are you trying to kill yourself?
I know that I'm going to die eventually. And when I do, hopefully I'll die with enough money in the bank that Sarah will be okay. I love touring. I miss touring with my family. I don't know if you're aware, but for up until a couple of years ago, they used to go with me. My Sarah would tour with me, and so would my kid, you know, when we had the kid, you know. It's only recently that I'm back touring by myself, and although it's not ideal, it's not that bad. You know, I do tend to have, I have a lot of friends on the road and all over the country, and I pop in and do comedy shows whenever I can, you know. I'm doing, so try to stay as active as possible, but yeah.
I wondered if you were doing lectures or workshops or comedy. I didn't know.
Yeah, I'm doing all of them, all of the above, plus probably more, you know, and milking cows, whatever that was.
I remember those days.
This is what it's like to play with boobs in the nursing home. Weighing testicles.
Oh, you'd love that. I'd love it too, because there's like six women to every one guy.
I know. We die early. That's our problem. You know?
And I don't like that. Could you do some research and find out why that is? That's not fair.
That is biological from birth. If you have a baby boy or a baby girl in a NICU, the baby girl is more likely to live. That's so our species lives on.
Yeah, and also we're dumbasses. you ever hear of somebody putting a firecracker in their butt and shooting it off just to make other people laugh? It's always a guy. All right, women don't do that dumb shit.
I went to this sex and disability workshop, and they talked about how a lot of guys with erection problems had motorcycle accidents and swimming accidents and stuff like that, doing stupid stuff.
Yeah.
And then there's war. Let's not forget
belly flops off the high dive, you know, like a... Yeah, no, I don't know what it is about men, but we're not bred to live long. You know, it's just.
But that's not fair for the women.
Well, I tell you who does benefit is that one old guy who took care of himself. That guy, because like for 6-to-1 ratio in the old folks' home, you know, like that one guy, he's tapping every single piece of tail in that place.
It's funny to watch the old ladies go after the guys.
I can imagine. But I don't want to talk about any of this, Gail. I want to talk about you. I want to talk about your career, your illustrious career. Now, I'm assuming you don't do that much stand-up in jail, right?
No.
No.
I did stand-up in Sacramento. And on Friday, Monday, I was in the hospital with pneumonia.
Oh, and man.
And last year, I've been in the hospital 5 times.
Ooh.
With infections and not syphilis.
Yeah. Those are the fun infections.
The red shoes.
So, you know, you've been out of the game, I would imagine, ever since you had the cancer, which led to going to into the homes, you know. But tell me about your comedy career before that, like the peaks and valleys and stuff. You know, you did win a comedy competition against me at one point. I'm sure that was the highest point of your career. But
it was. Well, I've never been a comedian's comedian. I am not going to drive all over the country, stay in a motel room, even if they have vibrating beds. I'm an old woman and I don't feel safe doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So I've done local stuff. I've done I've done contests in Edinburgh. I would say for any comic, go to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. It's a kick and a half. Have you been there?
I have not yet. You are the
second. It's in August.
Yeah, you're the second comedian I've had on a podcast recently to mention that. The other one was Phil Johnson. You remember him? He's also and Gail does music too.
Oh.
So she plays a little ukulele, you know, and stuff. And Phil's also a musician. And so he was talking about Edinburgh, and because he actually mentioned Lynn Ruth Miller, which I know you remember her. And so, oh, look, she's got it handy.
All night, all day, Mary Jane, down by the seaside, feeling no pain. With my little grandmother's love, Mary Jane, watching the bulge in the lifeguards.
Is that an original?
I know it's awful. I can't play the ukulele, but I can.
I was just going to give you the benefit of the doubt, like maybe it's been a while.
Yes, it has. I haven't been practicing.
But you have it sitting right there, which is ironic.
Yes, well, that's because I'm trying to build up stuff on my fingers, you know, and you can do that pretty easily. I've only been doing it a few weeks, and I can press it down, you know, like that.
Yep.
Well, you said you and Sarah needed help. What is your sexual problem?
I don't know. Where should we start, Sarah?
Well, you know, this guy, he's traveling all the time. It's really...
It's tough.
But we got to do more of the phone sex.
Yeah, yeah. But how do you do phone sex? What do you recommend? Because we... We've tried, you know, being online and talking to each other.
What's that?
This is a phone. I'm holding up to my face. This is how I hold my phone. I do it like this.
I think that's lower.
I think that's the way you do it. I think you got it, Brian.
All right. Yeah.
You want to do like this, you know. Because Sarah's got to get hurt.
You got to press the buttons on the phone, right? You got to press the buttons. No, I think we're good. I just make it goofy jokes, of course. Maybe she'll agree with me. I don't know. But I think things are okay with us. You know? How many kids do you have, Gail? I forgot.
I have one boy.
Okay.
And he's I wish I had had at least two, because I found out he hated being an only child.
Oh, really?
And now that I've lived to be old, everything falls on him, and that's not fair to him. Mm-hmm. You know, he needs some division of labor.
Right. Our daughter, I often suggest to her, like, if she, you know, she would want any siblings. And she actually says, she claims that she likes being an only child because she gets all the gifts, all the attention, you know. So I definitely, the last thing I ever want to do to her is be a burden to her. You know, that would be tough. But chances are, the odds are I won't survive. You know, so.
Well, listen, if you're in an old folks home, you got to have somebody that's going to go get your wipes and your pads.
Okay. Got to make
especially
sure.
Especially if you're a woman, but if you're a guy too, you know.
I think I'm probably going to need wipes and pads at some point.
Yeah, it's not fun, is it? You know, I was thinking about that. Women, we never get out of pads. We're born, we wear diapers, you know, for 3 years or something. And then a little time passes and we start periods and we have to have pads. And when we got in our 50s, we got a urinary incontinence problem, so we gotta have pads until we freaking die.
You have like maybe like a 6-year window where you're pad free, according to that.
See, there's our researcher.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. I know. I've done the numbers.
Well, I do have a book for sale.
Oh, sweet.
they could send me $10 and I could send them my sex ed book. Let's talk about sex and loving. That, I don't know how to do Venmo.
Yeah, see, you're looking, you're using Venmo. You're down with the.
I don't know how to use Venmo. I just know it's out there, but I don't know.
All you got to do is sit back and cash the checks. No, it actually, Venmo is really easy. The money goes straight into an account and then you transfer it into your bank.
It's then like. I got the Let's Talk About Overeating book. Both of these are for children, and they can buy that from the robber baron Jeff Bezos Amazon.
You should have, is there a book called Let's Talk About Using Your Phone Too Much?
Oh, definitely. I should write it.
Something, yeah. Or how about Let's Talk About Leaving Your Parents Alone for 20 minutes so they can get some private time?
Uh-huh, yeah. That would be a good one. Your parents want to have sex. Go to bed.
That's a better title. But yeah, so what's the title of the book again? So we can make sure we get it out and let people know they can buy it from you.
Oh, Let's Talk About Sex and Loving. And the other one is Overeating, Let's Talk About It. But I don't have any of those copies. They have to get those from Bezos. Do you ever come to Carlsbad or San Diego?
Not often enough. Now, I think the last time we were there was a long time ago. Yeah, I think it was maybe 6 or 7 years ago.
Pandemic didn't help with that.
Pandemic really kind of messed things up for my career. And to be honest, like, we're still picking it up. You know, like, it's only been a couple of years post pandemic and the touring isn't what it used to be. And California has become a lot less hospitable to people who do what I do for a living. You know, they've changed some laws, and there's other, you know, other things that you have to, other hoops you have to jump through in order to be able to do what we used to do. So we haven't booked California a lot, but I recently was in Northern California, but none of the places that, you know, you and I are familiar with, you know, I mean, or we used to work, you know, I did like Redding and as other, you know, Crescent, not Crescent City, but anyways, it was all the
brain fart. Yeah.
I'm getting old, Gail. I mean, I don't know. Is this when it happens in the 50s?
Wait until you lose your memory. That's really, you know, I can't drive at night, which really puts me at a handicap because I can't see to drive at night.
Yep.
I drive, but I can't see to do it at night. And there's no comedy shows in the daytime.
Right, right. That's why you're going to have to book your own show, and you're going to have to tour all the nursing homes. All of them. Do like you could call it a lunch and a laugh, you know?
Like that. Lunch and a laugh. That's what we should call our show in May. I should tell people a joke.
Yeah, go for it.
My Wonder Bra wonders where my nipples went. Yeah, I wear my bra for a belt because that's where my nipples went. Sarah, you don't know about this yet, and Brian, you're gonna find out about it because you got things that fall too.
I hope I never find out. Now, actually, that's a total lie. I hope I live forever, and I hope that to get old, Gail, it might come with some downsides, but ultimately, it's the better option, right? I mean, honestly, you know, I'd rather you know, live to see it than to not make it, you know.
Well, after the show is over, I'll tell you how old I am.
Oh.
But I'm not going to tell you on the show.
We can keep that a mystery. But I think we're about hitting that time frame. You got any more questions you want to get to know Gil about? I really, you know, honestly, I think we could talk forever about comedy and sex therapy, but to be perfectly frank, Gail, it's just really good to see you again. You know, even if we're not in person.
See you. It's just wonderful to see you.
Well, Gail, I think I want to say something for the audience listening, but also you as well. Obviously, we can make jokes about health and getting old and stuff like that. None of these jokes are meant to like poke fun at those kind of conditions. But yeah. One thing I do want to point out, and this is something that's from one of my books, is that laughter is actually pretty good for our immune system, and it helps us. And so it's really important to keep your sense of humor about you. I love the fact that you're planning on doing a show for other people. I think that's a very healthy thing for you to be doing. And, you know, again, get those natural killer cells active, those gamma interferon cells active. And those are their activity increases with laughter. So it's a really good thing to always tap into that sense of humor, you know?
Absolutely.
For what it's
and
worth.
And I do that every chance I'm playing cards.
There you go.
And I remember a long time ago, I went to this lecture by Lucille Ball. It was her last go around. And I said, you know, I've spent 19 years going to school and to be a psychotherapist, but now I found out I want to be a comic. And she said, what you do is you be funny wherever you are.
Yeah, yeah, that's absolutely true. People always ask me, how do you make money as a comedian? And I tell them, tell jokes while at your other job, you know, like, so make people laugh. If you're an Uber driver, make people laugh in your car. If you're a lawyer, make people laugh when you're, you know, when you're doing that work. You know, if you're a doctor, make people laugh during consultation, like anywhere you can incorporate humor is a good thing. And so I'm glad you're still laughing. Glad you're still enjoying yourself. I hope you get your other blue sandal back.
God bless you.
Gail, you take care, okay? It's great, great catching up with you. Have fun out there and give them hell at the nursing home.
Okay, right? I will. Every chance I get.
There you go. Don't take any crap. And folks, the rest of you guys watching, listening, thank you so much. Thank you, Sarah, for being my co-host once again.
Sure.
Which I guess pretty cool, huh?
Very cool.
Interesting character. This has been another episode of On the Road with Dr. Brian. Thanks for watching. Bye-bye.
I'm here, I'm there, I'm everywhere. Blues, women, and blues. I'm here, I'm there, I'm everywhere. I'm an asshole.
I think it's clear why I started comedy for the pussy. Gail and I actually have a pact that if one of us wins tonight, we're going to be each other's celebratory fuck. So I'm kind of hoping I don't win. I don't know.